If you have the word of the Lord with you, turn again to chapter 4 of Ephesians. We just touched on it a little bit last week, didn't really go over it. I'm going to try to go over these a little bit more. We're going to go through 22, 23, and 24, and I'll go ahead and read those. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, you would think these are just a few verses, but when you really get into it and really study these out and look at it, you begin to realize, you know, how much these three verses really mean to us. And I looked at it, and if you look at it, these three verses are pretty much one sentence going on here. So we're going to try to treat that as we look at this as one sentence, you know. And it's kind of like it's one subject, because you can't just take the putting off and not the putting on. And you need to look at this stuff. You know, Paul here, he's instructing us that to put off the old man and be renewed and to put on the new man. So one of the things I was looking at, I can't remember who it was, but they said put off and put on in the original denotes a distinct and complete act. The word be renewed is a continuous act and still incomplete act. So when we put off, we need to put off that old man. But we need to be renewed in our mind and in our spirit each and every day. And to put on that new man is the same thing. It's a complete act that we, as we do these things. And it's, so we need to look at this and treat it that way. As we look at these things, and again, verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. So as I was looking at this, I came up with a couple of questions here. And one of it is, why do we need to put off the old man? And from reading this, we can see the old man is corrupt. It's our corrupt nature. It's the natural man. You know, and remember, the natural man cannot receive the things that be of the Spirit of God, because they're foolishness unto him, and he can't know them. Why? Because they're spiritually discerned. So that's one of the reasons, and he's corrupt. You know, if we look at it in the regeneration, and part of this is, we look at it, it kind of brings us to the regeneration. Because in the regeneration, what happens? He takes away that old heart. He takes away that old heart because what did the Bible tell us? It's a heart of stone. And it's been hardened, what? Through the deceitfulness of sin. So is the old man. As we're going to go into this, the old man, he's corrupt. He's hard as a rock because he's been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So he takes away that old heart. And just like, and we have to put on, and we're going to look at some verses here, but the regeneration, he takes away old heart and gives us a new heart. And we have the old man and we have the new man. I believe we might have read some of these verses the other day, but I want to go look at this, because why do we need to put off the old man? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. For this part, we're going to look at just verses 17 through 21. And it starts out in verse 17, and it says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." So we look at the flesh is the old man. We need to get rid of that old man, because why? Because we cannot do the things that we would. "But if ye are led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these." This is why we need to put this old man off, because it's the works of the flesh. The flesh and the old man are considered to be the same exact thing. So we see adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Let me look down here and see. It's licentiousness. So it's evil. It's evil. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. We can see he's naming all these things. This is why we need to put off that old man, because all of these things are part of that, are part of that. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So here's another reason why. Why do we want to put off the old man? Because if we're doing and we're still in the flesh, we're still that natural man, what they that do such things, if you're continuing to be in the old man, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So when we look at these things, we see we've got a very important thing that we need to do in putting off this old man. Like I say, as I was reading it in Ephesians, all of a sudden it just dawned on me. I know I got my nice little verses, you know, in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith and whatever. These are these things. But we gotta realize how important this is to put off and put on the old man. Cause we're seeing, you know, is it a hard thing to put off the old man and to put on the new man? Yes, it is. On our own. It's hard. It's hard to do it, isn't it? Anything when we try to do it on our own. It's just like we get into Ephesians chapter 6 and putting on that whole armor of God. That's daily you have to put on that whole armor of God. It's a hard thing to do. On our own, it's not easy to do. But what does it say? I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if we have Jesus Christ in our lives, He's there to strengthen us that we can do these things. That's what we need to look at and see and understand these things all the time. So when we look at this, so if we look at Colossians, it's kind of neat that Galatians is before Ephesians and Colossians is after, a couple after it. We look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to read 5 through 9. It starts out in 5 and it says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth." That mortify means that we need to what? We need to put to death. Put to death is what we need to do. So that's what we're looking at. So put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And we can see it starts out. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of obedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. Excuse me. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. And what does it say in verse 9? Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So we can see that we're not going to do any of these things. Why? Because you have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man with his deeds. So this we need to look at, and we need to see these things. Putting off the old man. Now, I want to look at it. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 1 through 5. I had this down to read later, but I think I'm going to look at these things now. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we can see it's our nature. It's our nature with that old man. It's our walk in life that we look at these things. You know, and as we're going to see, look at putting on the new man, I want to look at this and go on to read the next two verses. Well, we can see this is the way we were. But look what it says in verse 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By whose grace you are saved. By God's grace we are saved. So we know we were that way. But it's only through the grace of God that we can change. It's the only way we can change and stay that way is if we have God in our lives and we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Like Paul says, I live, but yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. And Christ is living within us through the Holy Spirit that he has sent into the world to be there for each and every one of us. So before I get into this a little bit deeper, the other question I wanted to ask, and you know, this just came to me as I was studying it. Why do we need to put on the new man? Why do we need to put on the new man? What does it say when we look at Ephesians chapter 4? And it tells us, you know, that we are to put on the new man. Look at what he is righteous. He has his right, not his righteousness, but Jesus Christ's righteousness. And we have true holiness. We can only have that when we put on the new man, which Jesus Christ is with us and helping us in these things. So let's go back to those last two places. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5 again. Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at 22 through 26. We're going to start at 22. We're going to go through 26. This is why we need to put on that new man. So Bill knows this is my favorite word, but. So he's telling us that we need to, you know, to not do these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Look what it says in verse 20. Against such there is no law. There's no law against doing these things, but he says there is a law against doing those former things. He looks at these things. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. The flesh crucified. That means that's again thing to put to death the flesh with his affections and lusts. As we just read in Ephesians chapter 2, the lusts of the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Our conversation. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. That's empty or useless glory. Let's not be desirous, but we need to what? Provoke one another. We should not be provoking one another, and we should not be envying one another. Because that's covetousness. Covetousness. We don't need to have that stuff in our lives. Not at all. So, let's look again. See, these are things which we do. Isn't it amazing that it starts out with love? Who is love? Jesus Christ is love, isn't he? We only love him. Why? Because he first loved us. So this is what we look at this thing with love, joy. Remember, Leroy taught us a long time ago. It's hard to believe it's been a long time since we've been together as a church, right? But it's joy. How do we have joy in our lives? How do you have joy? You put Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. And you're going to have what? If you follow that simple thing, you're going to have joy. Look at what it says, peace. The peace of God which passes all understanding keeps our hearts and our minds, what? In Christ Jesus. You know, long-suffering. We need to be long-suffering. I kind of say that it's kind of like we got to have patience. We got to put up with people, don't we? You know, when we look at it, you know, one of the things I like about God is he's long-suffering with us. Because we're sinners and we do sin. We're not perfect. You know, none of us are perfect. But he's long-suffering with us. Putting up with us. Especially when we're not doing the things that are pleasing in his sight. We look at these things, you know, gentleness, meekness. We need to be of a meek heart, just like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was. Temperance. Against such there is no law. These are the things we need to look at. These are the things that we what? We need to put on. We need to put on. Put off. Put on. Go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at 10 through 17. Remember when we said, we read, finished up with verse 9 before, and it says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have what? Put off the old man, You have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed. Remember, the verse after is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. We're renewed in the knowledge after the image of him, God, that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore. I like it when you see it once when it says to put on. Yeah, you need to take note. But Paul is here, is double emphasizing this because he says on again. Put on therefore as the elect of God. So he's calling us as we put on, and we can see the regeneration, right? You know, he's taken away the old heart and given us a new heart. He's taken away the old man. We put off the old man. We put on the new man in the regeneration. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God. We are the elect of God. Look at what it says. The elect of God, holy and beloved. Holy and beloved. Bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. There's that long-suffering again. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. This is something really important that we need to have. We need to put on the new man. The new man, we have to have that forgiveness in our hearts. We have to have, as I can say, that attitude of gratitude for what he's done for us. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, it is Christ forgave you. We have to have that forgiving spirit. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That word charity means love. So, and above all these things, he says, what do we have to put on? Put on charity. Charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. We have been called of God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks and to God and the Father by him. See, we need to look at these things. You know, it's just not all these other things, but we need to put on that. Put on, have that word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means we need to read and study and understand. And as we read, meditate upon the word. That's why I remember a couple of years ago I said, I just don't want us to just read the Bible. We needed to really slow down and look at it and meditate upon it. And as we do this, and so what we're supposed to do, we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another. That's building one another up. We need to build one another up. And we look at that, you know, in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And because we have put on the new man, you know, and whatsoever we do in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. That means we are doing those things that are what? Pleasing in his sight. So, but notice what it says. And whatsoever you do, not in just word, but in deed. You can't just say it, you have to do it. It's like when, I'm trying to remember, James, when he talks about, show me your faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. So you can't sit there and say, you see the homeless and whatever, you can't say just, okay, go and be fed and be warm. You got to give them those things that they need to do that. You can't just say, go out and be filled and be warm. We have to do it. It's the deed also, not just saying it. You can't just say it, you have to do it. And that's what we have to understand. And all these things, we need to look at these things and go through these things. So, you know, as we're looking at these things, you know, and we see. So, when we look at this, in verse 22, it says that you put off concerning the former conversation. We can see that in Ephesians chapter 2. It talks about that. So that word put off means to cast off, lay aside, renounce. We need to renounce that old man. We need to put it off. We need to lay it aside. We should abandon these things. You know, you see the things that we read about the old man, didn't we? And he said we need to put them off. We should abandon these things and live a life totally opposite to what it was before. That's what we need to do. It's not a hard thing. I mean, I'm saying it is a hard thing. It's not an easy thing to do that, to just put all those things behind you and say, okay, I'm going to make this turnaround in my life and everything. But remember, we can do these things through Christ, who gives us the strength to do these things. That's what we got to understand. If it's like a thing, if God is for us, who can be against us, right? If God is for us, and that's what He's going to help us to do these things. Well, we got to go to Him and tell Him, you know, Lord, I need help. If things are going bad, I need some help, Lord. I'm not doing exactly what I should be doing. But we have to understand, we put off this old man. You know, those are the things that we need to do. Put it off. You know, the change is decided and complete. Complete. You know, when we were baptized, we went down and the Bible says that's like Christ's death. We go underneath there. We're putting that old man to death and we come up. It's newness of life. We're a new man, the Bible says. We're a new creature. So we need to, when we go underneath, we said, okay, I'm going to put these things away from us. And it's hard to do these things. But it's complete and decided. And this life, this habits, this character that we have, we need to put that behind us. We need to put it behind us. And we don't need to ever look back that we've lost something. You know what I mean? Because remember Lot's wife, what happened when they left? She looked back, didn't she? It's like, man, I know I'm going to miss this and everything that's there. What happened when she turned back and looked? She was turned into a pillar of salt. No man, the Bible says, I can't remember exactly where it is, no man that has put his hands at a plow and turned back is fit for the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about here. You know, we're looking at this, that life, that habit, the character. We no longer want to do the things that we used to do. You know, it's hard, isn't it? Let's be realistic. It's hard to do those things. You know, sometimes we look at that and we know that God has talked to us in that still small voice, hasn't He? He talked to us in that still small voice. And you know what? We had some hesitation. Let's be serious. Let's be serious. Look at it. We've had some hesitation. We're kind of like, oh boy, I don't know. Can I leave all those things behind? But through Jesus Christ, we can. We can. We can stop doing those things. And we can go forward. One of the things that I wrote down here, sometimes I forget things. I get all caught up with preaching sometimes. And sometimes I forget what I have in my mind sometimes and I'd like to bring out. But it says, people should be able to take note that we, I'm not going to say have been, people should take note that we are with Jesus. We are with Jesus. It's just like Peter, James, and John when they went before the council. And remember that when they went there and they put them aside and they were talking, that the Sanhedrin, the council, sat there and they said, they looked at Peter, James, and John, I think it was the three of them, and they looked at them and knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. I'm not saying we're unlearned and ignorant, but they were able to take note that they had been with Jesus. And that's what people, they need to be able to take note and look at us, that we have been with Jesus. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. I must have the wrong one. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. Hang on. It's not what I wanted to say, so let me hang on a second. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to have to make a note of that. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We said, I brought this up earlier. When we look at these things, take note, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we need to look at this thing and say, okay, we cannot receive the things that be of the Spirit of God or if we continue to be the old man. The old man. You know, because we look at it and we look at it, and I know that I was there for a long while there. I saw no need of Jesus Christ. To me, it seemed there were foolishness unto me. Why did I need Jesus Christ? Why didn't I need God in my life? But you know, when he starts talking to you, that still small voice, and he shows you why that you need him. Jesus Christ is no longer foolishness unto you. You know, and neither can ye know him. Isn't that amazing that we can know him? That we can know Jesus Christ. We can know the power of his resurrection. We know that through Jesus Christ we have what? We have gained the victory. You know, when we sang the song, oh, victory in Jesus. Victory. We have gained the victory through Jesus Christ. And that we can see these things because, you know, remember Jesus in the four Gospels, what did he tell his, not so much his apostles, but his disciples, the followers of him? But blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. Because how can your eyes see and your ears hear if you're still the old man? Because if you're in the old man, you have not been born again spiritually. You understand? And you can't understand these things. But we can understand. We can hear those things. Just like he told his disciples back then. So it's amazing when we look at these things and we see these things. Okay, that you put off, okay? Let's just say we're kind of putting off, aren't we? We're putting it off. But we're putting off what? Concerning the former conversation. We're putting off concerning the former conversation. So I have to write things down. So concerning means pertaining to or touching. So we're to put off what? The things that are pertaining to the former conversation. We're to put off the things that are touching the former conversation. We're to put off all these things concerning this, you know, the former conversation, you know, with respect to our former conduct. You know, that's how I said respect to our former conduct. That conduct, you know, our former walk. If we walk it, we need to be what? Walking in the Spirit all the time. We need to get rid of our habits of life. Lay aside all that pertain to what? Our corrupt and fallen nature. Our corrupt and fallen nature. Remember in chapter 2 of Ephesians, what does it talk about? It talks about our nature. And that in verse 3, that we were. I like that, Bill. That's a good name. We were what? By nature, the children of wrath. Even as others. But we don't no longer, because what? We're putting off that old man, and we're putting on the new man, that corrupt and that fallen nature that we have. You know, to quit, the former conversation. Quit that former conversation. To hate the garment that's spotted with flesh and sin. Remember, our own righteousness is what? It's nothing but filthy rags. Filthy rags. We're supposed to be what? Clothed upon with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our own righteousness is nothing. We have to have that righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's why we have Christ living within us as we look at these things. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. We're going to read verses 15 through 17. John writes, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." That's the old man. So he's telling them, you know, if you're loving it, you know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It's very emphatic, isn't it? It's not in him. When we love the world, again, we're his Lot's wife. We're turning around, you know, when God has called us to him, and we're looking like, I'm missing something. Look at it says, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This is not of the Father, but is of the world. And it is of the prince of the power of the air, who is what? Satan. That's who these things are, you know. So it's, we put off the former conversation. We look at it. It says what? It's the old man. The old man, the works of the flesh, may truly be called the old man, which flow from the depravity of nature, that old man. We were depraved. When we're the old man, we're depraved. We can see in Ephesians chapter 2, you know, what it talks about, how we are. You look and you look at the lust of the flesh and all that things that it talks about there, doesn't it? It talks about that in Ephesians chapter 2. You know, look in 3 where we just read. Among whom also we all had our conversation. Here we talks about it. It talks about the former conversation. Our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what we're talking about, this old man. This old man that's within us. You know, it's amazing. When we look at this and we see these things, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, we're going to read just verse 6. You know what? Let's go back to verse 3. I'm going to read verses 3 through 6. Because we talked about this earlier, and I couldn't remember where it was, but know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead, by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we be planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Wow, we look at that and we see these things. I could go on and keep reading more and more, but I got a few more points I want to make. But if we look at this, we can see that our old man is crucified with him when we went under the water. That old man is crucified. And we come up, we are to walk. Look at what he says. Even so we, look at Paul says, even so we should walk in newness of life. So he put to death that old man, we're going to walk in the new man. Look at chapter 13 of Romans. Let's read verse 13 and 14 here. Look at what Paul writes. Let us walk. I like it when he puts, let us. Paul says, not only me, he says, but you. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We can see so many things that we've been talking about looking at. It's the lust of what? The lust of the flesh. The lust. We gotta watch out. We look at the, you know, as we look at this and I'm gonna go one more spot here. Turn to Colossians again. Colossians chapter 3. I think we might have already looked at that. Yeah, well, I know we did that, but I wanted to go to it again. 9 and 10, and it says, look at what it says. It says again, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The image and the likeness. We should try to be more like God, more like Jesus Christ. It is God that created us. God that has created it. You know, when we look at it, the old man is what? Is not under the direction of reason and sound sense. He is controlled by his what? By his passions and his lusts. You know, the whole of the former life was corrupt and abominable. We look at these things, you know. We lived in the pursuit of what? Pleasure and happiness. That's what we were doing. You know, these are the things that we did and everything. And we sought this in the gratification of the lust of the flesh. We can see all the lusts that we're talking about. And ever deceived by these lusts. We are deceived by all these things. In closing, I'm going to read something from Gill. He wrote about this, putting off. We sometimes put on a religious face and so deceive. And yet it fills men with pride and conceit who think themselves to be something when they are nothing. And through these, the old man is corrupt. By these, the corruption of nature is discovered, and the corruption that is in the world is produced hereby. And these make a man deserving of and liable to the pit of corruption. And this is a good reason why the corrupt old man, with respect to this life and conversation, should put off the old man. So we can see these things, you know. This is what we were and the things that we were doing, the corruption, all the different things, the lust and everything that we have. And this is a good reason why the corrupt man should be put off. I thank you for your kind attention this morning.